Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A little later in the show, we'll play an audio clip for you, a phone call I placed to a pastor of a large Baptist church in Denver today, just a two-minute phone call asking the pastor to reconsider meeting with a friend of ours, Joe Scott. Joe Scott asked the pastor to meet, and he has turned her down. And I asked him to reconsider since one of the women in his church has a five-month-old baby. That baby would have been aborted in December had Joe Scott and others not been there at Planned Parenthood in Denver. And that woman decided not to kill her baby. And so I asked this pastor if he would reconsider meeting with Joe Scott to talk about issues of abortion and other issues at his church, even though he doesn't want to meet with her out of gratitude for this woman in his church keeping her baby because Joe Scott was there to intercede for the child. And so a little later in the show, we'll play that two-minute phone conversation. But first, we had a request yesterday from a caller, Rose. Bob, can you read the rest of that letter from Focus on the Family to an elder at Denver Bible Church, James Craddock? And so let me read to you now. We've quoted from this, and I have a fax copy of this, and I'm waiting to get a better copy or the original to scan, and then we'll load it up at our website at kgov.com. But the tragedy is that this letter announces that James Dobson has compromised his own standard. I mean, that's the wording in the letter from Focus on the Family. This is signed by Ross Marshall, staff member with Focus on the Family, on Focus letterhead, and that he has abandoned his pledge to never again vote for a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child. So let me read the letter. January 9th, 2006. And this is, okay, let me read. Dear Mr. Craddock, greetings from Focus on the Family. And thank you for sending us a copy of Bob Enyart's letter and DVD titled Focus on the Strategy. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to get back to you on behalf of our staff. Though it would be difficult to address every point that Mr. Enyart makes, we would like to comment on a couple of key issues. As Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, and then the letter goes on to explain that Dr. Dobson, he chose to compromise his own standard and he has abandoned that pledge. So as Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, there have been times that he felt he was faced with the necessity of making a difficult but inescapable choice between two or more major candidates. So then the next part of this paragraph will be a defense, a justification for supporting some candidates, officials, judges, decisions, rulings, initiatives, laws that are to some degree pro-abortion because the consequences are at stake, as though you can compromise on do not murder and have good come from it. But let's continue. Okay, recently, however, there have been times that he felt he was faced with the necessity of making a difficult but inescapable choice between two or more major candidates. Using the 2004 election as an example, on the one hand, President Bush has a solid, albeit not perfect, pro-life record. And to pause there, if you'll count stacking the Texas courts with pro-choice judges, if you count that as a solid pro-life record, I'd say you're not being objective and honest with yourself and honest with your staff at Focus on the Family and honest with those who support your ministry and your audience and the public. George W. Bush is proud of the pro-abortion judges he has put on the bench in Texas and federally. He has filled his cabinet with pro-abortion leaders, including Condoleezza Rice and so many others. He would have put radically pro-abortion Alberto Gonzalez on the U.S. Supreme Court by all accounts, except that James Dobson and other Christians were outraged that he would even consider it. And so to call him a strong pro-lifer, a strong pro-life record, President Bush was asked if his daughter had been raped and became pregnant, what would he do? And he said, I would say, honey, we love you. It's your choice. That's called pro-choice. That's how he's used the bully pulpit, except when he's talking to folks at the March for Life, when he's especially pro-life. Other than that, he promised he would ignore abortion when it came to nominating judges. And Planned Parenthood is receiving enormous sums from the federal government. So how do you say President Bush has a solid, albeit not perfect, pro-life record? That sounds like everything he's done, every judge he's nominated, he's gone out of his way to try to make sure they're pro-life, but a couple have slipped through. And the opposite is the case. He's filled the federal judiciary is solidly pro-choice, and about 55% of the federal judges were nominated by Republican presidents, by Reagan, Bush Sr., and George W. Bush. So how does the federal judiciary get solidly pro-abortion if all the judges our Republican presidents nominate are pro-life? How does that happen? Okay, so let me continue with the letter. So President Bush has a solid, albeit not perfect, pro-life record. On the other hand, Senator Kerry, judging by his stance on abortion, seems to have little regard for the welfare of the preborn. Yeah, and I would say John Kerry says, I'm personally pro-life, but his public policy shows he's pro-choice. And George W. Bush says, I'm personally pro-life, and his public policy is mostly pro-choice. So Senator Kerry, judging by his stance on abortion, seems to have little regard for the welfare of the preborn. Some might say that it's a matter of selecting the lesser of two evils. Dr. Dobson prefers to ask, what is the greater good? Yeah, and if you're into relative morality, and if, let's say, in the recent history, let's say Hitler was running against Stalin for the presidency of the EU, and you find out, well, Hitler killed 6 million Jews, Stalin killed 20 million. So what is the greater good? The greater good is to support Hitler because Stalin is going to murder 14 million more than Hitler. So this is relativism. And the standard that God asks us to make decisions upon is his moral standard of thou shalt not murder. And if there is a candidate who's proud of the pro-abortion judges he's put into office all over this land and stacked the Texas courts with not only pro-abortion but even pro-homosexual judges, as we have also on our U.S. Supreme Court, then we Christians are helping those conservative Republicans fall ever further into moral decay because they get our approval. And they think they go to bed sleeping well at night because the Christian right supports them and lobbies for them and raises money for them and votes for them. So the argument is because it was Bush versus Kerry. So how about when it's Hillary versus Rudy Giuliani? How about that one? Hillary versus Rudy Giuliani. And then we're going to be told to vote for Rudy Giuliani because why? He's pro-abortion. He's even pro-partial birth abortion. How about all the Christian pro-lifers in California who voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's about as immoral as you can get with his public policy. And you had Hugh Hewitt and so many Christian leaders encouraging them to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, even during the primary when there's a strong pro-lifer, apparently, who's an alternative. Okay, so let's continue. So Dr. Dobson prefers to ask, what is the greater good? So obviously, Hitler's the greater good than Stalin. That's 14 million people fewer murdered. So Hitler's, and let's see, Judas maybe is the greater good than Pilate. He fears, Dr. Dobson fears, that the damage done by a Kerry presidency would have been significant. Well, look at the moral decay in America during the 80s, during the Reagan-Bush years, 1980 to 1992. Homosexuality went from being a blip on the fringe of the radar screen to a major cultural and political force in America during the Reagan 80s, Reagan-Bush years. George W. Bush ran for president for a couple years campaigning while the Boy Scouts were being sued by the homosexuals. And you know what he said in their defense? Nothing. Nothing. The homosexuals were attacking the Boy Scouts while George W. Bush is running for the president of the United States, and he said nothing. We are getting the homosexual agenda in just a slightly different version. Well, for one reason, George W. Bush approves of homosexuals. That's why he's nominated so many to significant posts in our government. What if he nominated one for the Supreme Court eventually? That would show he's a great president. In his own mind, it would. All right, let's continue. So it's out of fear for the Kerry presidency that James Dobson dropped his pledge. Let's continue. This is true not only with regard to the sanctity of human life, but also the preservation of the family, the prosecution of obscenity. Prosecution of obscenity? It's the Republican Supreme Court that just legalized child porn if the child is animated. You know how well they animate these days? You can't hardly tell if it's real or if it's digital. And so child pornographers, look at the games that kids buy, spend hundreds of millions of dollars on games where there's characters in the games that are digitized. And the Republican Supreme Court ruled that if you have a man sodomizing a toddler on a porn video, if the toddler was animated, whether you could tell or not, then it's legal. And so we need more Republican judges on the Supreme Court with decisions like that? And why doesn't James Dobson warn his audience that these horrendous decisions are from Republican judges? The sovereignty of our nation and the world community and quite a few other issues, that finishes that sentence. That's why James Dobson has abandoned his pledge to never again vote for a politician who would kill a single innocent child. Please know that Dr. Dobson didn't arrive at this decision without giving it much thought and consideration. Rightly or wrongly, he chose to compromise his own standard, which he rarely does. Imagine putting that in print. Rightly or wrongly. Am I making that up? I'm showing it to somebody in the studio. I'm not making that up. Rightly or wrongly, he chose to compromise his own standard. Like they leave out the possibility, maybe this is immoral. Rightly or wrongly, Dr. Dobson chose to compromise his own standard, which he rarely does, in order to protect everything that matters most. Guess what? You can't support politicians who support abortion as a way of protecting that which matters most. Doesn't work that way. When you compromise on thou shalt not murder so that good might come of it, you will fail. Although Dr. Dobson realizes this decision carries with it the potential for criticism and disagreement, he believes God has led him in this direction, and that is perhaps the most despicable statement here, because God does not lead anyone in the direction to compromise on thou shalt not murder. The previous sentence says, rightly or wrongly, Dr. Dobson has compromised his own standard. So what? When he said he made a pledge to God, as long as God allows me to live on this earth, I will never again vote for a candidate who's willing to kill a single innocent child. Dr. Dobson violated his pledge, He should have announced it nationally on his radio show. But it takes what? A pipsqueak ministry on a radio in Denver, Colorado to pull this out? That Dr. Dobson has violated his pledge and no one in the country, not a single Christian ministry, seems to care, the national ministries. All right. And the rest of the letter, for the most part, is a well, there's a lengthy paragraph about it's good to be involved in government. We agree with that. And we're going to get a scan of this letter and put it on our website at KGov, KGOV.com. Now, I want to go to Joe Scott, who's here in studio. Joe, welcome to Bob and Your Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
You've seen this letter?
Yes. It's unbelievable. I just, rightly or wrongly, it's shocking.
It is shocking. And as Mr. Enyart stated, it's true. Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. But now things are too important now.
Yeah.
We can't hold these standards of right and wrong. We have to make political calculations.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Otherwise, imagine if John Kerry became president. Imagine if James Dobson said sometimes politics causes you to support pro-abortion politicians or judges or rulings or initiatives.
Well, yeah, said that.
Which is a greater horror, John Kerry being president or James Dobson saying, I'm going to abandon my pledge, I'm going to compromise my standard, rightly or wrongly, I'm going to occasionally support politicians who support abortion.
James Dobson.
Yeah.
It's much more of a frightening thing to happen because he's supposed to be the moral leader of the Protestant movement, and he's just throwing everything to the wind for pragmatism.
Yeah, for conservative party politics. For Republican Party politics, we will not compromise on Republican Party politics, conservative politics, but we will compromise on thou shalt not murder because we think there's a long-term political goal that we can reach.
Right. In the meantime, millions of children are dying.
It's devastating.
Ministries are being led astray. Yeah. It's just devastating. You're right.
All right. Joe Scott, you've been at New Hope Baptist Church the past few days protesting.
Yeah.
And the pastor, James Peters, is upset.
Not happy.
Not happy that you guys are there.
No.
And you're there because
they rented their facility to Iliff School of Theology for their conference.
It's a diversity leadership conference.
Right.
And Philip Wagaman and the people, the organizations involved are radically pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. It's a post-Christian conference.
Right. They don't believe in the resurrection or the virgin birth, any of that.
Right.
We've been having a seminar on the sidewalk called
The
Sidewalk Seminar.
All right. Good. And while you guys were there on Sunday asking this church, look what you're doing. Don't support this. A young woman came out in tears and thanked you guys that she never went through with killing her baby.
Right. She went to Planned Parenthood in December, she said. And she went by us and we talked to her and she ignored us, or so we thought, and went in and, as far as we know, she had the abortion. Well, Sunday she came out just crying her eyes out. She fell into Ken's arms and said, I have to thank you. And Ken said, you need to talk to my wife.
Yeah.
And she came to me and just hugged me and cried and said, thank you so much. She said, these pictures are horrible. Mm-hmm. What you say is so hard to deal with while you're walking into that. But thank you. It saved my baby's life.
Oh.
You know, it was just wonderful.
So you asked the pastor if you could talk to him.
Yes.
And he
said no, absolutely
said
not,
no.
In no uncertain terms.
And I called just before the show went on the air. We're going to play the 2-minute phone conversation to ask him to reconsider, even though he doesn't want to talk to you. He's mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
But out of gratitude that a young woman in his church has her baby, she's now 5 months pregnant. She didn't kill her baby because you were faithful to be there. So out of gratitude, would he reconsider and meet with you?
No.
And so we'll play that. And, you know, let me just say, for some reason, the audience will be able to hear it in my voice that I was nervous.
Okay.
And I can't figure out why. You know, I could go on ABC or O'Reilly and bat arguments back and forth with him or Hannity and Combs or whoever. But I was nervous. And maybe we could psychoanalyze me after the show. Why would I be nervous calling? He's got a few hundred people at his Black Baptist Church, right?
Right.
New Hope Baptist Church. Where's
mm-hmm.
the church?
38th and Colorado.
Colorado, right. 38th mm-hmm. and Colorado. And it's basically it's a pro-life church, as far as we know.
Well, from talking to the people that went in on Sunday, yes.
Yeah, okay. So let's play, and then we'll talk about this. Let's play the phone call from an hour before showtime.
This is Pastor Peters.
Hello, Reverend Peters. This is Pastor Enyart, Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church.
Yeah.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Great. Pastor, I'm calling to ask if you would consider meeting with a woman from our church. And it actually has to do with a young woman from your church. You have a Nicole who's in her 20s and she's about 5 months pregnant. I don't know if you know who Nicole is. I realize you have
No, because we have a lot of members here. But what's the conversation about?
Well, Joe Scott asked to meet with you in the last day or so, and you told her you didn't need to, and I'd ask you to reconsider for this reason. Nicole, who's a member of your church, she's 5 months pregnant, and in December she went to have an abortion at Planned Parenthood, and on Sunday she came out of your church in tears and went to one of our church members, Joe Scott, and thanked Joe for being there at the abortion clinic that day and said that she knew that Nicole loved her baby even before Nicole knew it. And so I would ask you, Pastor, if you could reconsider meeting with Joe Scott, at least out of gratitude that Nicole now has her baby.
If Nicole wants to talk to me, I'll be happy to. I have no interest in talking to people came out here to picket in front of our church on Sunday morning when we're having worship, and we had nothing to do. Mm. We haven't said anything that was pro-abortion or pro-choice, and the answer is no.
Pastor, out of gratitude...
I'll talk to her, the girl.
No,
talking to Joe.
That Nicole has her baby.
Well, I'll talk to Nicole.
Well,
tell her to talk to me.
Out of gratitude for Joe Scott helping to save Nicole's baby, would you, even though you don't want to talk to Joe, would you reconsider, out of gratitude, that one of your church...
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we have your answer. Thank you, Pastor. Bye. All right, Joe.
Wow.
I thought that, you know, if I was mad at somebody, they came and... They said Denver Bible Church is against whatever, against welfare, against whatever. And that person saved the life of a child in our church. Regardless of me being angry for whatever reason, I'd feel a debt of gratitude and a responsibility to tell that person, thank you for saving this mom in my church from killing her baby.
He doesn't, and we didn't picket his church because we thought it was a pro-abortion church. We had a pretty good idea it was pro-life, but Sunday was Sanctity of Life Sunday, and we tried to reach out to other Christian churches, and we handed out material to them that said it was a blight on the black community, that they were targeted by Planned Parenthood.
Because it's a black church.
Right.
And the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, had made the statement, we don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the black community. And if that does get around, we could have black ministers help to squash that idea. And they locate most of their clinics in minority neighborhoods,
right,
in or very near minority neighborhoods all over this country, as in Denver.
Right. And we also included in the literature that they were going to invite ILF School of Theology in. They were renting the building, but it's our responsibility as Christians to confront people who damage the name of Christ, not to embrace them and work with them.
Yeah, and so you're having this diversity leadership conference sponsored by ILF Theological Seminary, and it's Bill Clinton's former pastors, the president of the seminary.
Right.
And this is a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-resurrection of Christ kind of crowd that your church has rented your facility to, and there are people in your church. In fact, this young girl, she asked God, should I have an abortion or not?
Now, that's what she told me. She went and put her and put a request on the altar to ask God if what she could have an abortion or not.
And that may have been a figurative. In other words, come up and ask your prayers to God.
Yeah, I didn't ask her to go into detail about the ceremony or whatever it is that she went.
But so she asked God, should I have an abortion?
Well,
during a service at the church.
Yeah.
And the answer she believed she got
was go to Planned Parenthood.
Was go to Planned Parenthood and have your abortion. And she's a young lady at that church.
Yes.
Reverend James Peters should make it so clear to his congregation that killing your unborn child is wrong. It violates thou shalt not murder. And we need to learn to love our children. Over 10 million blacks have been killed.
That's right.
Over 10 million.
That's right. It's devastating. In fact, one of the women from the church came out yesterday. I think she was an office worker or something. And she asked me, what are you doing holding these black genocide signs? And I said, she said, it's not just black people getting an abortion. It's everybody. And I said, but the black community is targeted, and I just explained to her everything you just went through.
And a much higher percentage of blacks are killed by abortion than whites.
And injured. And we went through all that, and she said, well, why don't I know this? Mm. And I said, I don't know, but your pastor knows it.
Mm.
You know?
So we would still like Reverend Peters to reconsider.
Absolutely.
And out of gratitude that this little baby will be born in 4 months from now, the newest, youngest member of his church, out of gratitude for that baby, that he should reconsider. In fact, let's mark our calendars, and when the baby's due to be born,
mm-hmm.
we'll ask him again.
Okay.
All right.
Hopefully he'll be over the emotional trauma of being exposed for having Iliff there and of the graphic pictures that were outside of his church on Sunday and be able to hear us.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, let's go to a call real quickly in Colorado. Doug McBurney, longtime friend of Bob and Your Live. Doug, welcome. You're on with Joe Scott.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Bob. Joe. Yep. Hey, God bless you guys for what you're doing and what you said on the air today. But I want to take a stab at why you were nervous talking to Reverend Peters.
Yeah, psychoanalyze me, Doug. Go ahead.
I think it's because of your eternal perspective.
Hmm.
A guy like Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or who was the other Bill you mentioned? Wasn't there another? Oh, Bill
Maher. Bill Maher, ABC's politically
incorrect. These are relatively insignificant figures in the grand scheme of things. Hmm. And on Judgment Day, we'll all see how insignificant they were.
Yeah, this black church, for what's at stake is extraordinary. For the black community to rise up against the killing of their own children, there is so much at stake. And this pastor, out of knee-jerk anger, instead of stepping back and thinking, wow, mid-20s girl in our church went for an abortion, and these strangers were there to stop her.
Mm.
Yeah.
And on Judgment Day, Reverend Peters is going to figure far more prominently in the history of the world than will Bill Maher or Bill O'Reilly.
Good point.
You were nervous, I think.
Very good. Hey, Doug, thank you so much.
Thanks. God bless.
Appreciate that. So, Joe, we only have a few seconds left, so I want to say thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Bob.
For coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for being at that church. And that baby is the first baby saved.
This year.
Is it a boy or a girl?
We'll find out on the 31st.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
An ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, thanks, Joe. God bless you. And Maranatha Christian Center, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out. They're in Arvada at 72nd and Oak. And that's where Denver Bible Church meets Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings at Maranatha in Arvada.